This is the 2 North Jackson Podcast with news, insights, details, and accomplishments from Alabama's 67 county governments. Welcome to the August edition of the 2 North Jackson Podcast. Today we'll look at county budgeting, a new online connection for the county family, and transitioning from the courthouse to the Alabama Statehouse. This month, we'll begin with a discussion about something that's on everyone's mind in county government, and that's the preparation of the 2022-2023 fiscal year budget. And Heather Rose, who's the administrator in Lawrence County, has joined us today to talk a little bit about the activities back home in her county. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sonny. Thank you for having me.
Well, the process began in Lawrence, as I'm sure it did all over the state, sometime before today for budget preparation as you're looking toward October 1st. If you could talk a little bit about the budget preparation process in Lawrence County and what's gotten you here to the end of August.
Sure. In Lawrence County, we actually began looking at our numbers, going over the current fiscal year, seeing where we're at, even comparing that with previous fiscal year. And my accountant and I start looking at that, and we also get with our revenue commissioner. This year in Lawrence County, we're actually having a property tax increase, so we start getting those numbers together, looking at our sales tax projections, and that's how we begin. And then we just meet with our county department heads. I always send out an email asking them to kind of send in a wish list for the...
That's usually bigger than the amount of money, right?
Yeah, it usually is, but I still ask their wishes and wants. So they send that in, and we look at that, and then I meet with the commissioners to set up some work sessions, establish those dates, start going over numbers with the commissioners, meet some more with my department heads and saying, hey, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do. Is there anything we can trim?
So it's a good give-and-take process,
really. It is, and a lot of communication. That's the key to making everything work and keeping everything in line and keeping everybody happy, so to speak, so as much as possible. So that's kind of our process.
And so you got started a couple of months ago, I guess, with all that.
With my accountant, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting closer to that magic day. Obviously, the budget needs to be adopted sometime before October 1. And every county's different. Every county has its own story. But Lawrence County is one that I'm very familiar with the struggles that the county has faced financially over the years. And budgeting during your tenure has been very difficult sometimes.
It has. I know when I first took the position as administrator, general fund, usually around May or June, I was looking to make transfers from, so we would make it to the end of the year for general fund as far as making payroll, paying bills, you know, just the day-to-day operations. And, you know, the commission had to make some really hard decisions and make some cuts. And I just really had to tighten down the belt, so to speak, and hold the reins tight and let my department heads know, look, this is where we're at. This is what the decisions that we're having to make. I'm having to pull money from funds that is an extension of what can be used for general fund purposes and to make it to the end of the year. I know the first year, or it might have been right before I took over as administrator, we actually had to go to the bank and borrow about $400,000 in order to make general fund reach September 30th.
Let's talk about that. In Lawrence County, that's where you live and work, and the county's important to you. You wouldn't continue to do this, but it's not the only county that's faced that kind of tough decision. In my tenure here, I'd like to say that's an unusual story, but it's really not. Can you talk a little bit about the tension that the commissioners faced and the difficulty that they faced in the community facing that kind of financial process? Because this is not a story of woe. We're going to talk in a minute about where we are now, but I don't think everybody can understand and appreciate where we are now in Lawrence and in most of the other counties if we don't talk a little bit about where we used to be.
Yes, as far as the commissioners, they really faced some tough decisions. They had to cut some positions. Our employees in Lawrence County had not had a raise, cost of living raise, anything outside of a merit raise in years. And the temporary administrator that was there before me, she also helped the commission work through some of that. And, you know, those were just some really, really tough times that we went through. We had to cut some services. I know the county was operating a public transportation department. Luckily, we were able to keep that service in the county, but we had to turn it over to NARCOG and let them operate. Of course, we gave an appropriation for them to continue operating that service for us, but it was nothing compared to what we were actually putting into the program. But yeah, there was several years that we had a struggle and a tough time. So
it made the county administrator real popular too, I'm sure, with the difficult decisions that had to be made regarding employees.
Right. You know, we had looked at a reduction in staff at one time. We actually cut hours there for a few months, and we had to go to some extreme things that were not popular by no means with employees and as far as the public, because it makes services a little more difficult for the public. But we came through that.
And that is the rest of the story, not Paul Harvey, but it is the rest of the story. You're working on a budget now that after 6 years of hard work and a lot of positive things that have happened, that's a little less painful, right?
Right. We are in a very good position right now in Lawrence County. Due to a lot of the hard decisions that the leaders in Lawrence County had to make several years ago. So it's got us into a very positive place right now.
You're not transferring money into the general fund right now, right?
We're not transferring money. We're not having to run to the bank to borrow money. We're not having to cut services. We're still holding tight to the reins, but we're in a much, much more positive situation than we were a few years ago, which makes my job easier, makes the commissioner's job easier.
That's right.
The employees feel at a more stable, secure workplace.
Well, I say all the time in county government, we don't really make anything, okay? We don't make widgets. We don't make flat screen TVs and ship them off to be sold. We don't have a website on Amazon where we're selling things. Our money is invested in our employees so that we can provide the services. And I think sometimes people outside county government miss that if your employees go years and years without a cost of living raise, then the attitude's different. The ability to provide quality services is different. Well, you mentioned earlier about property taxes being up. One of the things, you know, as you look at public policy around the state, little things happen. People don't always understand the big impact of those things. When Governor Bentley was here, he made a decision. The Alabama Department of Revenue implemented annual reappraisal. Before that, we were reappraising property values once every 4 years, and it made it very difficult for an elected tax official, maybe property values went up 2% a year, to increase someone's property values 8%. We shifted to annual reappraisal. The public's accepted it better. And as you said, your ad valorem tax receipts that you use to help provide services have increased as well.
Yes. And, you know, that's not popular necessarily with the public, but it is what it is. And it definitely helps us to provide better services. And it helps us make it to the end of the fiscal year without having to borrow money.
A few years ago, we all love John Gordon, who was county administrator for a decade or so in Fayette County, passed away about a year and a half ago, and the administrators have honored him. But I talked to him in early summer, several years ago, and said, how's it going financially? And he told me the amount of money that was available in the general fund that minute, and it was less than $100,000. And I said, how on earth are you going to make payroll between now and September 30th? And seriously, John said, pray. You know, and not that we've stopped praying, but annual reappraisal has helped. SSUT and the revenue from that has helped.
Yes. And that has been wonderful for our county. I'm not sure where we would be without. Well, I do know exactly where we would be. We would still be borrowing money. But yes, it's been great.
Well, as we're here at the end of August, just real quickly tell us what happens next with regard to the budget process in Lawrence County.
For us, my accountant, Michelle Graham, back at the office, she'll begin working the numbers and doing her magic and getting everything ready to be presented to the commission. We'll also have a few more meetings with department heads and go over and finalize a few things with them, make sure that everybody can live with what they're getting. And we'll set a couple of special work sessions with the commission. We'll review everything, any talks of any kind of cost of living raises or anything like that that'll come up during there in those work sessions. Potential projects for FY23, we'll go over that, make sure everything's included in the FY23 budget. I know there's a couple of big projects the commission's looking at. So we'll have several more meetings between now and our regular meeting in September to finalize the budget.
And get it adopted and move forward.
We'll get it adopted and get everything closed out for this fiscal year, ready to roll over to the new fiscal year, and look forward to the election in November.
Well, I appreciate very much you taking a few minutes with us today to talk about the budget process, and congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
For hard work and hard decisions. And
a lot of sleepless nights.
Well, and hopefully between now and October 1 this year, it'll be a little less stressful. Well, that's Heather Rose, the administrator in Lawrence County, talking to us about the budget process there, and certainly her colleagues all over the state of Alabama facing the same activities. We'll turn our attention now to an online opportunity for members of the county family to connect with each other more effectively and efficiently. And Abby Fitzpatrick, the Director of Communication and Engagement of the Association, has been working very hard on this project for several months. We did have the opportunity to discuss it, at least in a very short measure, with those of you who attended some of the breakouts at the convention. But we wanted to spend a little more in depth today talking about how you can access and utilize this new tool that we're very excited about. Abby, as you all know, has been a member of the association staff for more than 5 years, but grew up in county government. Her father was the revenue commissioner in Coosa County for a long time, and she campaigned and handed out flyers and spent time in the courthouse. Abby, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonny. I'm so glad to be here.
During our process for developing our strategic plan, one of the things we heard loud and clear was a request from the membership to be able to communicate with each other more effectively.
Absolutely. In our many meetings with our strategic plan committee, one of the resounding requests was the need for more and better communication among the membership. And so we did our research and discovered this online community and realized that it ticked so many of the different boxes of the requests that members had. And so we just are so excited to launch this and to see how the membership can better engage with one another and with the association staff moving forward.
Online community. I know what we hope to accomplish, and that is we hope to give the membership an easy way to interact with each other, and honestly, to give us as a staff a more effective way to communicate with the members who might not open their email immediately or might not read all of a long email. What does this whole idea of an online community, what's that mean? How's it going to work?
So when I say online community, think social media network, like Facebook, LinkedIn, any kind of social media platform that you use now. It works essentially the same way. You can log on to it on your computer, on your app. You can share information. You can ask questions of your peers, and obviously they can do the same.
And so in addition to the members being able to post information and exchange information with each other, which really for us as a staff has been something we've always wanted to be able to do, right?
Yes. One great benefit to this online community is that there is a news section where the association staff can regularly share the important news that members of the county family need to see. And one great aspect of that is that all of the ACCA information or all of the information from state departments or others that we may push down to counties is all right there in one location. You don't have to search your inbox that's buried with other information from outside sources, but you can just go here and see that information specifically.
For those who are in the county family who don't have Facebook and don't know what LinkedIn is, this is really just a faster way for us to talk to each other, right? Isn't that really what we're trying to do?
It is. One thing that, you know, we all learned from COVID is that a lot of times we can't be in the same room together, which by no means is this a replacement for us getting together and talking and sharing our insights with one another. But it's good to be able to stay in touch with our peers when we're not together at those annual events. I know that each of you have questions and obstacles that you encounter on a regular basis. And so this is really just a platform where you can connect with your peers and get their help and not feel like you're alone, because as we all know, a lot of counties encounter the same issues, and there's no sense in us reinventing the wheel for each of these issues. So we can just stay connected throughout the year and lean on our friends in other counties.
Well, I think the platform can do so many other things, not just question and answer, not just raising surveys, not just pushing out registration for conferences, not just the Monday memo or the Thursday news, a place to find those. But you really could utilize this to replace the association's directory. You could utilize it to generate contacts for state officials and legislators, all kinds of things, right?
Yes, that is an important aspect to point out, and one thing that's very exciting to me as a communications person. Each individual on the platform has their own account, so it's basically a built-in directory, and with it being virtual, you can update it at any time so that at any time someone logs on to look for your contact information, they can make sure they have the most up-to-date info at their hands, as opposed to our printed directory that, as some of you have probably realized over the years, almost as soon as it's printed, someone's title or someone's contact information has changed and it's basically outdated at that point. So I think this will be a huge step forward for our directory. And another thing too that's really helpful on this platform is that we have a built-in resources center. So if there are certain templates or documents that either the association staff puts together or that administrators or engineers across the state put together that they want to share with one another, we can house that there. And again, it's a private group, so it's password protected. So these are documents that you wouldn't have to worry about them getting into the wrong hands. I think that's a great bonus.
And so the platform's called ACCA County Family, right?
Yes.
And so if I'm ready to get this on my phone, or I'm ready to use my desktop computer to access it, tell me what I do to become part of what we hope is going to be the new way of communicating with each other.
So on your desktop, all you have to do is type in www.countyfamily.org. And if you do not already have an account set up, you can just hit the request account button there, and that'll send a request to the staff, and we'll get that taken care of. And on your mobile app, you can go to whether it's the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and just search for ACCA County Family. Download that. And again, if you don't have an account, just hit that request account button. And as always, if you have any questions in getting set up or you encounter any issues, just reach out to us at the office. We will make sure that you are squared away and able to start communicating.
Well, over the next several weeks, the association staff's going to be talking about this new communication opportunity that we have and encouraging you to join us and pushing out information both through the slow email process as well as being able to communicate with you almost instantly on this new online platform called ACCA County Family. Abby, thanks so much for the hard work on putting together what is going to be an exciting tool for us and for visiting with us on the Two North Jackson podcast.
Thank you so much.
We'll now turn our attention to a strong voice in county government who is moving to a new podium. Commissioner Troy Stubbs from Elmore County, who is also the commission's chairman, was first elected in 2016 and then reelected in 2020, and has just completed the party nomination process for a new adventure. Troy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I'm very glad to be here.
And as I said, you've completed 6 years or almost 6 years as a member of the county commission. You ran for House District 31 and were successful in the primary. And so you are counting down your days on the county commission.
That's right. It's been very interesting and eventful 6 years and very rewarding. And now as the transition gets closer and closer, I've got a few months left on the county commission and opportunities to continue to work with my fellow commissioners and our staff to make sure that we're in a great position as we move forward to 2023 and a new fiscal year.
Well, you may not remember, but I remember the first time you and I spoke. It was almost exactly 6 years ago this month. You had won the primary. You called me. You were involved in, I believe, the high school football program there, and you called to ask about how that would interplay with your new adventure as a county commissioner. Lots have changed in the last 6 years, but how would you say your life as a county commission chairman compares to what you thought it was going to be 6 years ago?
Well, I don't really know what I thought it was going to be. I knew that I wanted and my family was committed to seeing change in the county. We chose to put our roots down in Elmore County and to raise our family here, and we found ourselves frustrated with some things, and so we decided to get involved and make a difference. And hopefully that's what we've been able to do for the last 6 years. It is a family effort. I think that's one thing that I've learned along the way is working together with the fellow commissioners and staff and your family and everybody buying in is what I think has led to what I feel has been a successful 6 years. There are certainly things probably would do a little bit differently, but all in all, I've learned a lot, had great experiences, and looking forward to the next adventure.
Let's talk about that a minute. Certainly, 6 years ago, elected to the county commission for the first time, you weren't unopposed in this election to the House of Representatives, but you did very, very well in that election. Do you think the commissions, the change that you've talked about, that you wanted to see some things done differently, so did others in the community, that make you a better candidate?
I think certainly it made me more confident as a candidate. I think that the better job you do as a commissioner and as a county commission as a whole and working with your municipalities, with your other elected bodies, school boards, whoever it may be, the more relationships you build. And so when the time does come, and if you feel prompted to make a decision to move and run for another office, you've got allies, you've got people that you've developed relationships with, people that know your work ethic, that know what your skill set is, and it's not a huge change. It is something that they sort of see along the way. They see the things that you're capable of, and so they become your biggest advocates. They become people who have their own sphere of influence, and they're able to touch people and encourage people to support you, even those that you may not know personally. So no doubt I was running for an open seat. I had one other candidate running against me, and the things I continued to hear on the campaign trail was things are moving in the right direction in the county. We think things are going great, and we hope it can continue, and we'd support you the next opportunity in the state.
Well, the beginning of your term as a member of the Alabama legislature doesn't coincide exactly with the start date of county commission terms. Those start 8 days after the election. I think you actually will take office before the results are certified in November. You actually take office at midnight. But now as we sit here at the end of August, has your public life changed very much now that people know that you're going to be in the legislature? Are they asking you about different issues? How do you see that changing?
Yeah, I certainly think that while people still, and I think will always view me in some form or fashion as a county commissioner, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the things that we've been able to do, and I hope to continue to have the personal relationships. But yes, the topics of discussion are much broader. They're much on a more state and even national level versus the conversations that we are all traditionally familiar with as county commissioners with regards to, you know, cutting grass on the right of way or potholes or internet or trash pickup. So it's different, but there is an expectation that people have of their local officials. And I learned that as a county commissioner, that when you give people the time and energy and focus that they deserve, then they'll respect you and they'll support you.
Let's talk a minute about what you just said, and that is elected officials giving the people the time and access to you that they deserve. I like the way you said that. Tell me a little bit more about what that means in terms of in your 6 years, what's the impact been on you and the decisions that you've had to make sure that you're accessible?
So for me, I think one of the biggest things that I learned during the 6 years is if someone is taking the time out of their day to call me, to text me, to send me an email, it's obviously an important issue to them. It may not be very important to me. I may look at it as something that we deal with all the time. It's routine. It's no big deal. It'll be handled. But for them, it's a big deal. And the quicker we realize that as elected officials, that if people are bringing something to your attention, it matters to them, and we give them that respect that, look, I understand that this is a big deal to you. The quicker we learn to do that in a empathetic way, the more effective we are. And so that has been my view over the entire 6 years, and I've learned along the way, and I'm still learning. But, you know, when people see you and they walk up to you, most of the time they feel like they're intruding when they ask you a question. I was at a ribbon cutting yesterday, and someone said, when I come out of my road and turn onto Redland Road, I can't see to the left because the grass is so high. Somebody's going to die. And it becomes very dramatic and passionate, and I'm just thinking, you know, I'm sure our crews will be out there next week. It's on the schedule. No big deal, but it's a big deal to her. And so when I took a step back and acknowledged that, you know, I think she was very appreciative, and it's my job to follow up and make sure that it gets done.
You may not remember, but I try every 2 years in the orientation to say, most of the time, the people just want somebody to listen. Most of the time, they know when the conversation begins, you probably cannot fix their problem, but they do want to tell you about it.
Right.
As we look toward November, and then obviously it'll be 2023 in time for your first session as a member of the Alabama legislature to begin, you'll shift a little bit in your relationship with us. I tell everybody who comes to work here and we get ready to work on public policy, there's one thing they always need to remember. We don't get to go through those doors and go out on the floor. And our relationship with the people who do needs to be different. Have you thought yet about how your relationship with your fellow commissioners may change or how you plan to approach that?
You know, as the chairman of the county commission, and we worked closely with our legislative delegation, we had several pieces of local legislation that we've worked on and through over the last 6 years. And so I've learned everybody has different personalities and different skill sets. But for me, making sure that the county commission knows that I understand that they are the elected officials that are the closest to the people. And I need their support and they need my support. And the better job we do of working together on issues and continuing the momentum in Elmore County, you know, that's one of the reasons I ran. I felt that there was a little bit more opportunity for our local representation to be a little bit more effective and closer to the trajectory and the objectives that we had as a county commission. And so I hope to carry that forward in this next session and as the years come.
We'll get you a little clicker so that you can count every time you get to hear the ACCA staff in your new role say to you, now, Troy, this is one of those unfunded mandates that you used to say, sick them, make sure they don't pass. We need you to help us make sure they don't pass. So it's for us very rewarding to get the chance to work at the legislative level with people that we've been able to work with over the years. And you'll be joining a growing group in the Alabama House, as well as a couple of new county connected people and one former county commissioner who've been elected to the Senate. So what we call the county caucus in the Alabama legislature is expanding. We look forward to working with you. Troy Stubbs, new member of the Alabama House of Representatives, District 31, for a little short time now. Until November, Chairman of the County Commission in Elmore, we appreciate you joining us on the Two North Jackson podcast.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
And we thank each of you for joining us this month as well. We look forward to connecting with many of you in the coming weeks as we kick off our annual legislative development process. But in the meantime, be sure to mark your calendar for our next podcast discussion, which will be released on September 30th.